It's been nearly a year since Bashar al-Assad became president of Syria. He succeeded his father, who ruled the country for 3 decades. The younger Assad assumed power, promising economic, political, and social reforms. Many promises have yet to be implemented. In Syria's second-largest city, Aleppo, many people seem disappointed at the lack of progress. NPR's Kate Seeley reports.
Natives of Aleppo love to boast that theirs is the most cosmopolitan city in Syria. A key caravan stop on the Silk Route, Aleppo was home to English and Dutch trade missions as early as the 16th century. But this once elegant city of wide boulevards and parks today seems faded and neglected in comparison to its neighbor to the south, the capital Damascus. And in stark contrast to Damascus, where posters and photos of the president Assad and his late father proliferate, Aleppo is noticeably free of their images. Aleppo native and reform advocate Abdulrazak Eid says that's because this proud city has long resented the preferential treatment given the capital and, as a result, isn't very fond of its leadership. The workers here have a feeling that Aleppo is a wronged or disregarded city, says Eid. They feel as if the interests of Damascus are more important. Resentment towards Damascus was further exacerbated by a government crackdown on Aleppo during the late 1970s and early 80s. Aleppo was one of the bases of the Muslim Brotherhood, a militant Islamist group opposed to the government. Brutal attacks by the Brotherhood left scores of army recruits and civilians dead. Damascus responded harshly and, says Aleppan writer Nihad Saris, everyone here was affected. In the 80s, the citizens of Aleppo feared the government, he says. It was like a living nightmare of security and military control. But faced with growing economic stagnation, Damascus has begun to pay more attention to Aleppo, according to Saris. This northern city is the country's manufacturing and export center. Its well-being is considered key to Syria's recovery as it seeks to transition from a state-controlled economy to a more open, dynamic one. That could explain why President Bashar al-Assad has visited Aleppo a couple of times in the last year. Manager Nal Dalati says Bashar stopped at his cafe last month to speak to citizens about their needs. The president is a man of the people, says Dalati. He listens to everyone, from the least to the most important person. What many Aleppans say these days is that there is high unemployment, families are barely able to make ends meet, and people are increasingly fed up with government theft and corruption. The head of Aleppo's Syrian Orthodox community, Mar Gregorius Johanna Ibrahim, says Aleppo's 200,000-strong Christian community is worse off economically than it has been for decades. Ibrahim says Aleppo's Christians long supported the Assad government because of its tolerance for minorities. But as the hardships grow, many of Ibrahim's followers are beginning to lose faith in Bashar al-Assad's promises.
When our president Bashar started to claim that there will be some reformation concerning economy, everybody was happy. But until now, in practice, we don't have something, you see. We are still hearing many things. And waiting.
Still, other Aleppans profess hope for the future. In Aleppo's ancient covered bazaars, merchants have been selling and trading since at least the 3rd century BC. Some shopkeepers here say they're optimistic the promised reforms, like the reduction of import and export tariffs and the introduction of private banking, will help revive Aleppo's economy. Goldsmith Ahmed Nabhan says he and a majority of Syrians keep their money abroad, where they earn higher interest and experience fewer financial restrictions. But he says he will gladly transfer his assets to Syria when private banks are established. Why should we send our money out, he asks. It will benefit our country to keep it here. Why should we have others benefit from it? A few shops away, a colleague of Nabhan's surfs the internet while receiving calls on his mobile phone. Both the net and the cell phone are relatively new to Syria. Bashar was a leading proponent of them before becoming president. Almost everyone you talk to here says they appreciate the young president's desire to modernize and open up this long-closed country. Even critics of the government agree that Bashar has ushered in an era of greater open-mindedness. Political prisoners have been released, a few independent newspapers have been allowed to publish, and greater debate is tolerated. Abdulrazak Eid, who's one of the leaders of Aleppo's political reform movement, says that despite fearful memories of the bloody 80s, Aleppans are becoming bolder. People are growing more courageous, he says. People have begun to speak out more and form clubs to debate issues. There is some progress. The sad fact, he adds, is that many here believe Bashar himself would like to see more progress. But after 1 year in office, he seems to lack the power and influence to speed up change in a country desperately in need of it. Kate Seeley, NPR News, Aleppo.